For the rest of us in here, it is good to be together. Looking forward to next Sunday. As Phil mentioned, it is Christmas Eve, and so we're going to have our traditional candlelight service next Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so hope you can be here for that. For today, I want to invite us to turn to Isaiah in chapter 7. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 491 will be helpful. The words will be on the screen behind me. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, and Cliff is going to come up and read for us, and then we'll pray and get to work.
Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the gift it is of gathering together. Thank you for being the gift of being in your presence and the presence of one another. And as we now turn to your words, may you be in and under and all through my words. May we hear your voice this morning speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we again are continuing in this season of Advent. Once again, Advent coming from that Latin translation of the Greek parousia. Parousia meaning the coming or the arrival, the presence. And so we are in this season prior to Christmas, right? This period of preparation, of remembrance, of reflection, even of celebration of the coming, the Advent, right? The coming, the arrival, the presence of Jesus on earth. And so with that, we are continuing looking at several passages in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, what we have said is the gospel according to Isaiah, looking at several of what are the traditional Advent passages. And we can think back over these past couple of weeks, right here in Isaiah, centuries before the birth of Jesus, this ancient Hebrew prophet. And we can think back to Isaiah too, this Hebrew prophet Isaiah speaking of Jesus, the man of mystery, right? He is the first mild light. He is the light of the world. He is the light of life. He is that light that shines in the midst of the darkness. And we can think of Isaiah 35 last week. Right, whatever is happening, whatever your condition, whatever the pain, whatever the ache, right, whatever the loneliness or the stress or the despair, the sadness, right? Whatever it is that you are facing, here comes 35. Right? Not like the others, a word out of place. Right, a word that couldn't wait, a word that comes in the midst of whatever our condition. It's a word of comfort, it's a word of joy, of peace, it's a word of hope. But not only a word out of place, right, it's, Isaiah 7 tells us, it's also a name. Not only a word, but a name. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son." And then from there we read Vekarat Shemo in the Hebrew. What is translated here, "and will call," right, and will call him, which is okay, but I think a better translation would be, "and will call his name," and will call his name. Noting that in the ancient world, the act of naming had a profound significance. As the Rabbi Benjamin Bleck, he writes, "Names represent our identity, not simply because they are a convenient way to allow us to be distinguished one from another. It is because they define us. The names we are given at birth are not accidental, are to some extent prophetic. They capture our essence. They are the keys to our soul." And just what is this, not accidental, to some extent prophetic, this essence, this key we read, it is Emmanuel. He is Emmanuel. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name, Vikarat Shemo. It says Emmanuel. Right? Isaiah, it's like he's peering over the horizon, where Matthew then picks up the story. Matthew reminding us, right, that at the very heart, at the very center of God is Vikarat Shemo Emmanuel. Right? The virgin will conceive and give birth, and he will be called Emmanuel, right? The very much, not accidental, to some extent prophetic, the essence, the key, and we'll call his name, right? Matthew, he quotes Isaiah here, and he says his name is Emmanuel. We'll call his name Emmanuel. And then Matthew tells us, meaning, Emmanuel, right? Meaning, God with us. Emmanuel is God with us, right? The light of the world, the word out of place. His name is Emmanuel. He is God with us. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, it's reported that on his deathbed, his last words, he said, the best of all is God with us. In fact, the whole of the Bible speaks to the with us God. We see this going all the way back to the story of creation, all the way back to Genesis 3 and 8. We read there, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you? Where are you?" And it's always been this way, right? Even when we hide, right? Afraid for what the light might reveal, right? Even when we hide, even when we turn away, right? Even then, we find Emmanuel, right? Even there, we find God with us, the desire of God to be with us, right? Keeping in mind there that flowing through the whole of the Bible, it's not so much about our desire to be with God, right? But rather it's about the desire of God to be with us, right? They hid, but the Lord God, right? We hide, but the Lord God called out, "Where are you?" We could say, in essence, the essence of our faith is God with us, the with us God. In fact, the most frequent promise in the Bible, it is not comfort, even though I think we would all say God is a God of comfort. It is not provision, even though God, right, he supplies our needs. It's not even forgiveness, even though forgiveness is absolutely central to Jesus. It's not even eternal life. It's not even eternal life. The most frequent promise in the Bible is, I will be with you. Exodus 3 and 7, God here is speaking to Moses. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering." Right? He is a God of comfort. So now, Moses, verse 10, "Go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And then we read, "And God said, I will be with you." Entering the wilderness, the Israelites entering into the wilderness. Exodus 13:21, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." Right? Point being, God was with them. When God charged Joshua in the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua 1:5, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then verse 9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God," and again we read, will be with you. Right? Wherever you go. The great Psalm 23:4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." Jesus, his final words to his disciples, what we call the Great Commission, Jesus ends here with the words, and surely I am with you always to the very end. Again, all through the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, the reality, the profound reality is that he is a God who is with us, right? The central reality of this Advent Christmas season is the not accidental, to some extent prophetic, the essence, the key, right? Vikrat Shemo Emmanuel, right? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call his name Emmanuel, right? He is God. He is God with us. John Ortberg, who wrote a book called God is Closer Than You Think. I've shared this before. It's one of my favorite stories. John Ortberg tells the story that he's on this airplane. He's sitting next to a businessman, and the businessman has his computer open, the screensaver. There has a picture of his son, young son, just learning to walk. And Ortberg writes, "Is that your son?" I asked. Big mistake. "Yes, that was the man's son, his only child. The picture on the computer was taken 3 months earlier when Adam was 11 months old. The man told me about his son's first step and first word with a sense of wonder, as if Adam had invented locomotion and speech. There was a more recent picture of Adam on the man's handheld. The man showed it to me. The same picture could be viewed more clearly on the computer. The man showed me that. He had a whole string of pictures of Adam doing things pretty much all children do, and he displayed them one at a time. I and my seatmates got a graduate course in Adamology. I can't wait to get home to him," the man said. "In the meantime, I could look at these pictures 100 times a day. They never get old to me." They were already getting pretty tiresome to everybody else in our section of the plane. "You obviously miss your son," I said. "How long ago did you leave home?" "Yesterday." One day away from his son is one too many. So he was rushing through the skies, taking a chariot through the clouds, implacably determined to be at home with his child. He did not simply want to love his son from a distance. He wanted to be with him. Vikrat Shemo Emmanuel. Right? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Right? And will call his name Emmanuel. Right? God with us. Which again is not so much about our desire to be with God, and really about God's desire to be with us. Noting with that is an invitation. Right? God's invitation to each one of us. As we read in Revelation 3 and 20, Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Here I am. Right, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with," right? We could think Emmanuel, God with us. "I will eat with that one and that one with me." From the author and theologian Richard Foster, he paraphrases 3:20 here. He says, "Through the scripture, we heard God whispering down through the centuries, 'I am with you, I am with you, I am with you.' Then we heard God asking a question that searches the human person to the depths, right? Are you willing to be with me?" From author and theologian Frederick Buechner, "There is no event so commonplace but that God is present within it, always, always leaving you room to recognize him or not." Philip Yancey, his book titled Prayer, he writes, "When I am tempted to complain about God's lack of presence, I remind myself that God has more reason to complain about mine." Which really invites us then to sit. And I want to invite us to sit in some stillness for a bit and to reflect and to consider, are we doing life with an awareness of God's presence? Right, God with us. Are we doing life with an awareness of God's presence? Are we paying attention to the God who is with us? Right, when we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, when we go out, when we stay in, when we're alone, when we're with others, in all the stuff of life. Right? Are we doing life with an awareness of God's presence? Rabbi Sheffa Gold, she writes, each day I wake up with an intention that when I open my eyes, I will see and recognize God's face. Right? Again, the presence of God. God's face representing the presence of God. God with us. I will see and recognize God's face in the details of the day I am about to encounter. I prepare myself for wonder. And so we can think, do we live each day expecting to see and recognize God's face? Right? Really, Advent and Christmas, that's what this season is about. At the very heart and center, it's about this God who desires, above all else, to be with you. And He invites you now to be with Him. And in that, then, it also is an invitation for us to be with one another, to be with others. And so we could ask, are we doing life aware of the presence of one another? Are we paying attention to the other who is present with us? We could ask, do we practice this way of witness to those around us? Do we practice this way of witness with those around us? Again, from John Ortbergen, we'll close and then have some time for silence and stillness together. Again, one of my favorites. You're getting my favorites today. John Ortberg, he writes this. He says, God is crying out all around us. He is present in the breathless silence of the snow-smothered mountains. He is dancing with the sunlight that shatters on the ocean's waves. He is hiding in the decaying moss and lichen and crumbling shale in the old forgotten places in the world. No jagged mountain throws its sharp weight against the sky that is not a testament to His goodness. The entire sum of creation, each private and individual act of nature, is God waving hello. Set aside for now your past failures or future worries. The teaching of Scripture is that God really is present right here, right now. The Spirit of God is available to you and me, flowing all the time, welling up within us, quenching our unsatisfied desires, overflowing to refresh those around us. He is at work all the time in every place, and every once in a while, somebody somewhere wakes up. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, Vekarat Shemo, Emmanuel, and will call His name Emmanuel, meaning God with us.